Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Basecamp. When you use Basecamp to run projects, people know what to do, people know where things are, and you stay on top of everything all the time.
Like a mountain.
Yeah, like a mountain.
Yeah.
Or like a cloud or something.
Or, I said mountain because Basecamp.
Oh, like a Basecamp when you're climbing up a mountain?
Not so much when you climb clouds. That's an airplane. Hey everybody, welcome to Talking Games, brought to you by the Nerdlogs! We were literally just talking about it, so it's not that good a job of remembering. But yeah, we're Talking Games. I'm one of your hosts, Clayton Margeson, and over here, my co-host...
Kellen Tarrant is my name! Thank you.
We have not introduced ourselves in maybe 6 months.
Well, people know. If no one's discovering the show and being like, these guys.
I think they might. They're like, you know, Basecamp. What's Basecamp sponsoring this week?
Yeah. They gotta go check it out. I like video games and I like talking.
And if you're wondering who that great laugh is, it's our best friend in the world, Josiah Jenkins.
Thank you.
Thank
you for being here, Josiah. Thank you. Josiah, as we start off every Talking Games, do you believe in gun control?
Yeah. No. I'm so glad. I'm so glad finally someone asked me.
If we know if we can continue with the podcast or not. See if you're cool.
I believe in gun controllers.
Are you
going to fit right in.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Are you playing any video games right now?
Guys, I got to tell you what. I'm playing two video games. One on my phone, one on my PlayStation. The video game that I'm playing on my phone, it's called 1010.
1010? You're the second person to talk about 1010.
I love it. So I have a rule for myself. I only have one game on my phone at any given time.
Okay.
And I only like games that are untimed with clean visual designs.
There you go.
So before this it was 2 dots, and before that it was 2048.
Yeah.
2 dots was pretty fun.
Two dots is great.
Messing around with that a little bit.
Yeah, I used to go to the bathroom at work specifically to play 2 dots.
Oh. That's pretty fair. Yeah. You have a real job.
You have a real damn job.
Well, I did. Once this gets out.
Sorry, I see. I thought you got fired today.
No, I didn't. That would be bad. No, I have a job. I do want to be clear about that. Still my job's still doing good. The joke was that I was getting fired for taking...
too many shits.
Unauthorized bathroom.
It makes it sound like it was like a hall monitor.
Yeah, exactly.
Give me your phone before you go in there.
I know what you kids do.
Drop it in a bucket. Yeah, I can see where that sounds like I got fired, so...
Absolutely did. I was like, hold...
Maybe.
Maybe.
This isn't out yet. Maybe
by tomorrow. First thing in the morning.
Well, that would be quite a bomb to drop.
And also for it to come out here more than...
Talking Games got the exclusive.
Josiah Jenkins fired because of 2 dots.
Although, I love it. I love the idea that would be preposterous. But like, as though that's such juicy news that Talking Games couldn't break it.
No way. Who's your source on this?
We protect our sources on Talking Games.
So 1010 is great. It's just Tetris without the blocks moving.
I love it. James was talking about this show. James Dugan, friend of the show. And I liked the game so much I paid for it because I thought it was really great. I didn't necessarily want to have the ads, and I liked the game and I wanted to support the developers, and it's a complete time suck.
Yeah.
And when I do bad at the game, I feel bad. It's like there are ways where you can like, I can get a big score.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I got like 100 points in this game. I'm terrible.
Yeah, but sometimes they screw you over because you get like the, like 4 of the L's and then like 3 of the big blocks.
Man, you know. People at home, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
The big blocks.
But that game is an ideal commute game.
Yeah.
The biggest. The blackest. The blockiest.
BBB.
Yeah. BBB. Better business block. I'm the only one not drinking, and I'm making the worst jokes possible.
Oh, boy.
But yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's when I got fired today.
When you got fired today, what did you go home and play on your PlayStation?
Guys, the other game that I'm playing is the same game I've been playing for the last 2 years, and I know we're going to talk about it later, so I'll put a little pause on it. It's NBA 2K14.
All right. There it is.
My PlayStation might as well be a Netflix machine that also plays one video game.
I think Sony's happy about that. Sony doesn't want you to be playing multiple games. They want you using it for two specific things. So you're following the Sony guidelines.
I guess that's true, except that now I'm getting to the point where they've clearly stopped supporting the network. And for some reason, I actually hate this thing that games do now where it's built in that it, like, has to talk to the cloud. Because I'm just playing for me. Yeah. I'm not competing online. But it takes, like, an extra, like, literally 10 minutes at the startup to get into the game for it to, like, be, like, network not found.
We gotta just make sure we can't find this network for you.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like, we're gonna double check. It seems like the network's not fast. It's like, can I disable this?
We're trying to do this for you, man. No.
You want to lose your cloud saves?
Yeah, I like don't give a shit about like my 2K coins. That I'll never spend on fake stuff in the game. So
certainly not.
Anyway,
there you go. Well, Clayton, what are you playing these days?
I've been playing. I just beat Majora's Mask.
Nice, on the 3DS. Very nice.
Thank you. It was great.
Yeah.
It might actually be my new favorite Zelda game, which is insane, because before this it was Link Before Time. Mm-hmm. Or Link Before Time? No. Link Before
it's
Time.
Link in the Dinosaur.
Yeah. The Fred Flintstones. Yeah,
you gotta fight Sharptooth, save Ducky.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sad story. Anyway, just to play Ducky, is that a story?
Oh, boy.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
Let's not talk about it.
Wait a minute.
It's great. Like, I really
remember the end of the game.
It's good.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what really, like, drew me in more and more was, like, the fucking villain of Skull Kid. And Majora, the mask owner or whatever. I was just like, what the fuck is the deal with this monster? Because it's really interesting from that perspective. And from the perspective of, like, what is the end game here? Mm-hmm. It's just mass murder-suicide. It's basically all it is.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is pretty fucking dark for a Zelda game.
Yeah. Because at least if Ganon takes over, he turns Hyrule into his kingdom, but he doesn't want to kill everyone. He just wants to enslave them.
Right.
Skull Kid just wants to end the world.
Right, exactly. Yeah. For, like, basically no reason.
No reason, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Fuck this! Like, yeah,
my friends left me. It doesn't seem like he has any sort of connection to any sort of humanity at all.
Yeah, exactly. He's totally isolated, and he's like, well, then fuck it. You know, he's just like... And also, his mind is being, I think, tortured by this mask. It's like, he's fucking going crazy. I'm just like, what the fuck is the deal? Again, just like, not a Zelda game you would ever play.
Yeah.
I really liked the, like, basically finding all the masks, and you get, like, a final super mask that then I won't spoil too much of it for you. But that super mask is fucking sweet.
Awesome.
Like, I thought it was going to be like, well, whatever, it's another fucking mask. Blow a bigger bubble or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was, like, fucking awesome. The final boss fight was, like, way more fun because of that mask.
Awesome.
And that's one of my favorite fucking things in games is when they're like, hey, man, you took the time to complete the game. You did all this stuff. We're going to go ahead and give you a super weapon that you can use at the end. Like, the gravity gun, getting superpowered in Half-Life 2 is my go-to. Mm-hmm. But now it's like this. I'm like, this is one of the most fun things ever. And... spoiler alert, you keep it after you beat the game so you can go back and play with the fucking Superman.
Awesome.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just good. That's just a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there has to be some sort of catharsis at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, in a lot of Zelda games, there's not that. I know when Link Between Worlds came to the end, and, like, you had to, spoiler alert, if you haven't finished that game, I'm going to ruin the end for you. But it's like, the villain gets bigger, and then you have to zoom into the wall, and you're just shooting an arrow on a two-dimensional plane, and it's a total fucking letdown.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, what about, like, a big blow-up moment, where you actually feel like you became as... It's the fucking... Whatever his name is. James Cameron. The guy who was, like, the hero's journey.
Oh, yeah.
Joseph Campbell.
Yes. Or James Cameron.
James Cameron.
Also, Avatar.
Probably,
pretty well followed.
Titanic.
Yeah. Terminator 2.
The hero's journey from the bottom deck to dying above water.
Spoiler alert.
The Titanic.
Josiah does a movie podcast.
Which we'll get to later.
But we, that's really part of the process. I forget what it is. It's like becoming one with like the powers that be or whatever, becoming a god, whatever it might be. And that's like the best moment, I think, in games. Like, that's why I loved Legend of Dragoon, which is like not a great game, but at the end you like it all fucking like superpowered and you're like, hell yeah, dude, but it's still almost not enough to beat the final boss, which makes it even better.
See, I think that's the ideal, is you have all these new powers, but it's not easy.
No.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you needed the powers to do the final thing.
Exactly, yeah. The final boss fight in Majora's Mask is pretty easy with the, like, big mask. But at the same time, it's, like, really cool that you actually have the option.
You feel like you've earned it, though, right? Yeah, it's like, all right, cool, I'm going to use this mask. You've gone through that whole process.
Yeah. And you don't have to use it. It's not like, well, the final boss fight was easy because I have a mask. I had to do the mask. Yeah. But, dude, oh, God. Anyway, enough about Majora's Mask.
Okay.
I did love it, though.
You loved it,
I was just like, dude, I would totally play this again with all this shit.
That's awesome, man. That's really awesome. I've been playing Hotline Miami again, but playing it on the PlayStation 4. And let me tell you, playing that with a controller is very different than playing it with a mouse and keyboard. It is extremely frustrating with a controller.
Oh my god.
It's almost to the point now where I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna finish this game with a controller because it's such twitchy, strange controls, but still such an awesome, awesome fucking game.
I love that game. I played two this week too. I totally forgot because I beat it in like 2 days. I just cranked through the whole thing. I really liked it. I get a lot of people are really mad about it because there's some glitches in there that are really frustrating. Like, guys will get just like in a doorway and just start spazzing out and become invincible. Which is just like unacceptable.
Sure. Yeah.
It's straight up just like not cool. And a lot of level design problems where people can see you from very far away and just like snipe you. Even like shift, like look far away, you still can't see them. And I'm like, that's some bullshit, but I still really liked it.
That can be fixed with a patch, though, couldn't it?
Not the level design.
Not the level design, but at least the glitches can, yeah.
And I think even, like, they could probably cut down on the sight radius that you guys have. That's the most frustrating thing about it, is, like, what? Like, I get that it's, like, going after a gritty kind of realism, almost, in the fights. Like, everyone has one hit point. Yeah. I think that's great, but I didn't like that these guys feel like they are superhumanly accurate.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I don't think anybody could make that shot through glass. Like, they saw me for half a second and immediately, like, boom, like, that's it, he's dead. You know? It's like, way to go, Roger! Like, that shot was 1 in 1! No way!
Roger goes home to his wife.
You can see that, too?
Yeah,
exactly. We all see it. We got a chance. Just sit down at a shooting range.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, so that was fucking frustrating.
Okay, all right. Well, I've been reading a lot of some, you know, kind of divided reviews of the game. I'm looking forward to playing it, but I got to get through Hotline Miami regular number one first before I start playing it. Two.
And two is still, I thought, still totally worth playing, but it's also because I'm a huge fan of the first one, so I'm a little biased.
I don't know this game, so in my mind, it's a war game that takes place in the offices of a hotline.
You're not super far off.
Yeah.
It's basically like the movie Drive, but with like a little bit more of an 80s, like, acid techno aesthetic. It's really weird and cool.
Kind of like bitty, like in the sense of like it's like not 8-bit, it's more like 16-bit top down.
Oh.
Really, like, just brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal blood and the, like,
yeah, violence you get, is out,
we're talking
out
about like desensitizing yourself to a game and violence. There's never a point where you hit someone and they fucking bleed and they're crawling that you're like, that doesn't bother me anymore. Every single time you're like, oh, no, I don't like this. Ugh, I don't like this.
You need to go up and snap their neck while they're crawling away. Get an extra 1,000 points. You know what I'm talking about. It is really fun.
Yeah, it's funny. It's really good. I've also been playing, Dragon Age Inquisition.
Okay.
And,
big pause there.
Big pause there.
Perfect.
I'm about 10 hours in, and I was talking with, Aaron Amendola today, saying, like, boy, this game's really kind of slow. He's like, you're not even done with the prologue. And I'm like, what the fuck? What?
Yeah.
And I'm, yeah. It makes me impressed with the game, but it's also daunting to be like, am I going to play another game this year? Or is this like, I feel like I'm like, I like the world and I like the design and I like my character, but I'm also very intimidated by how the scope of it, I guess. Yes. Having never played another game in the Dragon Age world, it really makes me feel like I'm like that fish out of water sort of thing where it's like, oh, I'm just thrown into this universe and I'm supposed to know everything. So I keep asking a lot of questions and reading a lot of things and be like, okay, cool, this is interesting and I like this, but it's just huge. I don't know if I'll have a verdict for it until I'm like halfway through and then I'll be like, this is a great game or this is a waste of time.
I don't know how, I think I put like 90 hours into it or something insane like that just to be, and I didn't even like do all the side quest stuff. I was just like, all right, like, I get it. Like, I just want to get to the end here, and man, it is a long fucking game.
Yeah, yeah. I did see my first dragon recently, and that made me excited.
That's great.
Yeah, so because I remember you talking about the dragons, and I was like, I like dragon stuff, and yeah, it's a great game so far. I'm like, how do I play this game? But like, Bloodborne's coming out, and I'm like, I'm just gonna put this game away and come back to it in a little while because I know Bloodborne's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Bloodborne will be the thing that breaks me.
It will be.
I think I've talked about this before, how that'll be the thing that gets me the PS4.
You still haven't broken down.
No, I just bought a mattress today.
Good for you. Yeah. What games are coming out on the mattress system?
Man. That is private. The games I play in there are just for me. Solitaire.
Pillow fight
2.
Yeah, oh, 2. My mom said if I play solitaire too much, I'd go blind, so.
This is a filthy podcast. I'm ashamed of both of you. Especially you, Josiah.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. I lost my job today.
Oh, okay.
All right, there you go.
He lost his job, folks.
Yeah. Mom, if you're just tuning in, learn podcasts. This isn't the beginning. Come back to the beginning.
It's not a radio program.
It's not a radio program. Strange that you'd be tuning in here.
And jump to minute 16. I bet they're done with all the bullshit nonsense. Oh no, they're still going.
They're really into it.
They haven't even finished talking about what games they're playing right now.
Boy, it's a 4-hour episode.
3 parts? 99 cents for each episode? It's the ripoff.
Wait, when did they start charging for this?
Was this another Dan Strauss episode? Dan Strauss, love him. It was the longest episode. That was like the hour 15.
To his credit, he has the longest video game thread probably on Facebook right now.
Oh my god.
He does.
Every time I see that thing, I'm like, this again?
Yeah.
Wow.
Going since June.
Yeah.
It's a little inside baseball.
Well, speaking of baseball, which is a sport, Josiah had mentioned earlier that he likes a sports game, which is not something we really talk a lot about on the podcast.
And the winner for best segue of the year. Oh my god, I can't believe it. It's Colin Terry. He snaked it.
Oh, gosh.
Away from Clayton's. Speaking of video games. tell us about it. So it's NBA 2K12?
14, you said.
Yeah, 14.
I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry.
Although, basically, every 2 years I buy the next NBA 2K game.
All
right. Yes, but the last two times, 12 and 14, I've only played one mode in the entire game. So I've had friends like who've never played the game beat me, playing me like team versus team, because I don't play that way.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you the story of two men.
Yeah, let's hear this story.
Here we go. The first, his name is Melvin Butler. He was born in Minnesota, I imagine. He went to Yale, taken 13th overall in the NBA draft. Yeah, Melvin Butler was an African-American man with a mohawk and a dream. And that dream, to become the best shooting guard in the NBA. His first season was rough. He developed slowly, but he put in literally hours because he set the game length at the length of an actual game to earn more points.
Oh, my God.
And put in probably hundreds of hours on the court, plus drills, just to get better. And, oh, sure, the Suns wouldn't take him there. He tried to give Steve Nash that last championship, but he lost in the finals.
Oh, my God.
But it was when he joined the Charlotte Bobcats in the year 2019. early 2018, actually.
Are the Bobcats still a team?
They aren't still a team. In the year 2015 in real life, they are not still a team.
Yeah, but in this alternate reality.
So in the Melvin Butler reality, the Bobcats never change their name.
Yeah.
And he joins...
The Melvin Butler-verse.
And, yeah, in the Melvin Butler-verse, he joins the Bobcats along with LeBron James. They both come in as free agents.
What?
And then this rookie point guard named Blake Shelton, like the country star.
Yeah.
Like the country star, but he's just like a small African-American point guard, takes them all the way. And you might have think Melvin Butler, probably on the road to a Hall of Fame career. But then when he won the big game... On the way to the White House, I can only presume that he died in a plane crash. Because the game... So when you win the championship, you go to the White House and you hold up like your jersey with Obama.
Yeah, yeah.
Except that by the time I had finally beaten it, due to the, like, the support issues I was talking to you earlier with 2K12, it kept causing a glitch that would crash the entire game and the screen would go black.
No!
Every time I won the finals. And so he had to retire not as a Hall of Famer. So, flash forward 2 years.
Okay. 2 years?
2 years? Guys, 2 years in the Melbourne Butler?
Yeah.
No, guys. Right. 2 years in our... Now we're back in our time.
Okay, back in our time.
Let me tell you the story of another man.
Okay.
His name is Scooter Woolrich.
Scooter Woolrich?
Oh, you might think, why did Melvin Butler just come back? Because I didn't want to play him again as a rookie through his whole career.
Fair.
Scooter Woolrich, 6'8", small forward.
Okay.
6'6", small forward.
Oh, okay. That's 2 inches. That means something.
Yeah, 6'6", small forward, but he's undersized for the position. A lot of 6'8" guys play that now.
That's fair.
Scooter Woolrich drafted 18th by the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay. Where'd he go to school?
He went to Northwestern. Okay. He's a little bit more like me, Scooter Woolrich.
Oh, really?
But you get to choose what school they go to, so you thought Yale and Northwestern were going to be big.
This is why I chose Yale for Melvin Butler.
Okay.
Because I was like, I know he's going to be bad when I start, but I'm going to play this enough that he's the best player in the NBA.
Uh-huh.
So he has to have been coached poorly in college. It's like the only way I could rationalize it is that he was someone who was coached poorly. Scooter Woolrich, similar thing. Okay. He went to Northwestern, Big Ten school.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference is I... In my world, Scooter Woolrich had an elbow injury throughout college. That's why he got drafted low, and that's why it took him a long time to find his shot in the NBA.
Wow.
And this brings me to my point, that this game is so hollow. I only play this one mode. I've got at least 6 years in with each character. The game runs out of things to give you at that point. Like, so in your first couple years, it'll be like, our marketing department has this new billboard, and so you'll see yourself, like, on a billboard, like, holding a basketball, and it'll be like, watch it live, or something, mm-hmm. and, like, you get on the cover of 2K-style magazine,
sure.
and all these, like, fake publications. And maybe for people who are better at the game, you get those all, like, in the first year, and then you're like, I'm satisfied, I'm finished. I play all the games full length. I don't play every game every season, but I play all the key games full length. There's about 15 games a season.
Wow.
Right now, Scooter Woolrich, 2-time NBA champion with the Detroit Pistons after he demanded a trade. And I guess, like, the reason I bring this up is, well, two things. One, I don't know what kind of psychosis I have that I play, like, everything I hate about video games, I love about this game. Like, I hate in shooters, for example.
Mm-hmm.
When you learn the trick to the game, and you're like, oh, if I just dodge left and then right and shoot someone, like, they'll never hit me with the whatever gun. And to, like, fool these guys, I just have to wait behind a wall for 20 seconds and then pop out and shoot them and no one will know. But in a basketball game where literally it is the exact same thing every time, I will play for hours on end.
I mean, you're talking about a level of role-playing in a video game that I don't think I've ever had a depth to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that you have thought about all of this character's backstory and everything, and I have to ask, when you won the championship, after playing that many hours, how did that feel? Did that feel good? Was that enjoyable? Or were you alone in the middle of the night being like,
Both? I was both alone in the middle of the night, and it felt great.
Wow.
But the other thing is,
when I beat Final Fantasy VII for the first time.
Yeah.
Well, I did it.
But why?
Why?
Well, and it's funny, too, because, like, I play in a way that I have a friend who has a term called cheesing, which I think might be a term for
cheesing.
Yeah. Because it's not cheating, but it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And so, like, I only shoot three-pointers or drive to the basket, and I exploit, like, the way the AI is bad, and I have never upped the difficulty level because I love... scoring 60 points in a game.
Yeah, because you want to feel like a badass. You're doing it for your ego. You're wanting to play a certain way. I mean, if you don't realize that playing video games is about your ego, then you need to fucking put the controller down. You want to be the hero. That's why you're playing a video game. Yeah, you want to be an overpowered hero, but not so overpowered like we were talking about in Majora's Mask that it doesn't seem fulfilling.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, it's funny too because, so I created this backstory because in games, I feel like when things don't add up like they would in the real world, it bothers me. So I played Grand Theft Auto V.
Sure.
And it bothered me that no one ever tracked your car after you ran over a bunch of people. Like, I was like, this annoys me that you can just keep this car, and no one's like, wait a second, that's the car from the murder spree that absolutely would have been front page news, even in, you know, Crazy Island. Like,
do you know that if you play online, though, if you steal someone else's car, like another player's car, you will then get like a 3-star like police rating and they will track you down and try and arrest you or kill you if you're playing online. But I felt the same way when I was playing Grand Theft Auto. I was like, boy, this is such a level of reality. And yet I can run every single red light. I can hit so many pedestrians. I can beat someone up and there's no consequences for that. So I feel you in terms of wanting to have that like, well, let's just play on Crazy Island. Just make it crazy.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, well, there's some reality to it.
Sort of like Saints Row.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Have those games. Just, they're like, hey, man, this is fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. It's okay.
Yeah.
You're playing a cartoon. What about basketball, though? Like, I mean, why not? Like, I have friends who are obsessed with the 2K hockey games or the football games. Like, why basketball for you?
Well, I think it's a really well-designed sports game. So, actually, like, even though I don't play fully like a real game would go, for the most part, the teams play like real teams, and they have really deep commentary. Like, they have so many hours clearly pre-recorded that I'll still hear a comment every now and then, and I'm like, wow, I've never heard them say that particular comment. But then also I hear things like, that was a great screenplay, and I'm not talking about the screenplay you see in Hollywood. Like, is it, like, probably every game?
That's just good writing, right?
That's just crisp writing.
That's just Dick Vitale just going off doing his own thing.
But I think, so I think that's part of it, is that the game was fairly well designed, and I think there's something about controlling this one person, and I just, maybe it goes back to when I was a kid, I did not like Michael Jordan. I did not like, so.
Not what I thought you were gonna say.
Also I was terrible at basketball, but I didn't like Michael Jordan.
That's what I thought you were gonna say.
Because one time I did like him, and my brother was like, you only like him because I do, and I was like, no. I don't like him because you do, and in fact, I don't like him at all. So I hated Michael Jordan, and everyone else got to enjoy it. And I think there's something about it where I'm like, I want to create the player who's better than Jordan and just get to, like, enjoy it. It's the reason I cheer for LeBron James and have his entire career.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Interesting.
Big supporter.
I have heard that Michael Jordan is, like, a dick.
Oh, like, I don't think there's any disputing that. I don't think there's any disputing that Michael Jordan, I'm sure not a fan of the Nerdalogs, is...
you know what? Fucking let him come here and say, defend himself.
Come on, Michael Jordan, you have an open invitation to come on Talking Games and defend yourself. Yeah. And if you got a video game you like playing, we'd love to hear about it.
Yeah, you fucking pussy, dude. Fucking calling you out. I am so scared right now.
Yeah, because you also know that Michael Jordan's the kind of asshole would be like, I'm coming on that podcast, and I'm going to show how good I am.
They will not answer. I'm too scared.
If Michael Jordan showed up at your house, it would be terrifying.
It would be so scary.
Guys, I eat at Michael Jordan's restaurant all the time.
You're really blowing. Oh, my God, you're right. It is in Chicago.
Yeah.
But we're in Alaska.
Yeah.
Don't say anything about it.
Hawaii, Alaska.
Yeah.
Wink, wink. More outlandish.
I've tried playing some of those NBA games. I think the 2K games are very well designed, but there's absolutely something about, I remember playing NBA Jam growing up.
I'm
loving that game. It's the same thing. It's like you get a ball, you shoot from the other side of the court at 3-point, and the moment you're on fire, you're like, nothing can stop me. Nothing can stop me. I'm Dikembe Mutombo shooting a 3-point, and I'm on fire. Yeah. No one can touch me. I can do the crazy slam dunks. And it was like, I wasn't doing it because I wanted to be good. I was doing it because I wanted to feel feel good. Yeah. But I played the 2K games, and there's a level of, like, we have to pull back on the stick and shoot right. But there's like...
I had a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah, there's a level of technicality that, like, the people who are good at those games are good on a video game level that I think it doesn't translate to being, like, oh, I'm good at...
BioShock.
Like, yeah. I think enough people could pick up a shooter and figure out the mechanics like you were talking about pretty quickly. But a game like any of the 2K sports games, I think it's pretty hard to pick that kind of stuff up.
Yeah, and maybe it's because also I've always been bad at, like, platformers. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't like playing platformers at all because I'm horrible at them. Mm-hmm. It stresses me out because I'm that bad.
Okay.
And shooting games similarly, like, or actually the worst games are driving games, except for Mario Kart.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Okay,
You couldn't put me, like, in a game situation that I'm worse at. And so maybe it is, like, having enough knowledge going into it to know, like, oh, directional passing is this. And, like, I don't know, like...
Mm-hmm.
Some level of, I don't know, some upper hand over... Once again, I play it on a fairly easy level. I'm not challenging myself. But...
Now, we had kind of talked about a little bit this earlier, this idea of, like, it's the metagame. It's the game that's going on inside your head, not the game that's going on the screen. And I think that brings up a good point about a lot of games that I've really liked about the sort of... emphasis on I'm putting myself in this sort of role. I'm emotionally connecting with this on a level that the game is not asking me to. It's these open sort of spaces that I'm putting myself into that. I imagine there's a lot of that with these sort of things, and the fact that you've probably invested a lot of time and a lot of emotional space for these characters.
Yeah, and it's funny actually because it shows how little a character needs to be developed for me to invest some quality in them.
Yeah.
Like, there are NBA players who I hate in real life or love in real life because of a perception I made up about them playing a video game.
Sure.
Yeah, that's amazing. This guy's a dick.
Like, I hate Grant Hill because whenever I would pass to him, he would dribble before he shot in a way that would make me not get assists.
Yeah. That's very funny.
Wow.
Grant Hill.
I mean, I think there are some games that I get bothered by because the characters are so well developed and I want to put myself into that character a little bit. A lot of role-playing games I notice that are like, you know, one of the reasons I think I like Link in Legends of Zelda is because he is such a blank slate that you can put yourself in there. Nintendo does that a lot with, like, Metroid or even, like, the Donkey Kong kind of levels. It's like, all right, well, I can see parts of myself in this because there is such a vastness to the actual character who doesn't have any opinions. But the fact that you've invested, like, I played some of those games and it's like an actual period in like a hockey game or in the basketball games. That's like 5 minutes, right? So the fact that you're playing it to standard professional time shows a level of commitment and a level of, like, you want to live in this world. That's the reason you're developing that.
That someone say is insane.
Right.
But then again, I guess what's the difference
only
between
like
that
one
and,
like, out of the three people in this room?
Yeah. But they also wouldn't develop, I don't think they would make that my player,
that's the only mode I play.
Yeah, but my player mode unless they wanted you to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a good point. And you're right, because when characters the Metal Gear games can be really fun at times, but sometimes, like, the cutscenes and, like, who that character is become very overpowering and annoying.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Or, like, a game like Heavy Rain is basically, like, a movie. And I thought that... I don't know if you guys played that game ever.
I did not.
I did. Yeah.
The ending of it, I think, is so stupid that I was like, I can't believe I invested at all in this game and this character.
Dude, Tim is probably spinning in his grave.
Yeah, he's really upset that he can't defend the Metal Gear games right now.
Well, he really loves Heavy Rain, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, he loves all those, quick time event games.
Sure.
Which they have their merits.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, they're great.
No, but yeah, absolutely. He ends up Heavy Rain. Oh, yeah. What? It's almost as bad as, like, hey, no, you'll get it. It was aliens the whole time.
Yeah,
it's like, what the fuck?
Like, yeah.
It's not that low.
I almost want to spoil it because it's just like...
You can probably...
Spoil it. I don't think anyone's
been out in probably 6 years.
Yeah, it's an old game, yeah.
So basically at the end, a character who's been like... used no technology the whole time, who's like this private eye, you are to believe has been this mastermind serial killer using high-tech stuff this whole time.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense. It just doesn't make sense.
And on top of that, it means that like things you played out were only shown to you, the player, to mislead you.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't see it from his perspective. You saw what he wanted other people to think, which is fucking stupid. And yeah. like, but they had to do that because it was like, well, if we're going to make this guy a playable character, we have to be like, well, he would probably kill this guy who's about to give him away. It's like, but we'll pretend he saw someone else do it and run away and then chase after them.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you're only doing that for the benefit of the player. Yeah. Not even like him telling the story of what happened.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we omitted that scene, yeah, the player might get suspicious and be like, what the fuck? So it's just stupid. It made me fucking furious.
Yeah.
It's like, it was this guy the whole time. It's like, no, it wasn't.
Yeah, I was actually happy because one of my characters had died off early, and I was like, thank God I didn't spend an extra, like, 10 hours on this game.
Oh, God.
I feel like the Heavy Rain, they wanted to do so much with that game, and I feel like they probably watched Usual Suspects, and they said, we'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll make this big turn, and no one will see it coming.
That's exactly
right. With a movie, you're watching, you're not participating in the same way if you're playing a video game, and if you're playing a video game and you're doing these, and Heavy Rain is such a tedious fucking game.
Yeah.
I tried playing it, and the first hour of that, well, this is how you brush your teeth, and this is how you do this. Just
to
understand the game.
Kids to do their homework.
And it's just like, no, this is not a game I want to play. Like, I want it, throw me in it. Like, I just don't see the point of it. A game that I think of, it's like, where I think I made up who the character was, and I inferred all this stuff that I don't think they were trying to do, would probably be Shadow of Colossus. Like,
there's
a game where it's like, they're not telling you anything about who this guy is or what he's thinking. And for me, I'm just kind of riding around the world, and I'm just like, I think this guy's probably just talking to himself, and like, I would just talk as the guy talking to the horse and be like, come on, you fucking monsters, I'll get you. Because you want to entertain yourself. Yeah, you get drunk. Like, I'm fucking kill this monster, the girl wakes up.
Where are you?
Come on! Put my sword in the sky. I got the sword of power, you know?
You get fucking weak powers of shit.
Yeah.
You know, fucking don't tell me! I'm gonna find it! You climb on your back, you bitch!
You don't know me!
He's shaking me around, I'm gonna puke!
And we just ruined that game for a lot of people. I mean, there's people who love that game, who will never play that game.
I really wanna replay that game now with this guy. You fucking... puked in his fur.
Oh, God.
I gotta grab him.
No,
I'm falling! Oh, God! Help me! You fucking... Go away from me, you horse! I got sword. It's a very good game.
It's a very good game. Do you show your character off? Is there a part of you that feels like you can brag? Like a part of you that's like you put the time in? I mean,
yeah. So I would say that I'm fairly ashamed of it. Except that I'm not. I am like oddly proud of it. So like. Yeah. My roommates will come out of the living room, and I'm like, yep, I'm going to play some basketball. And they'll do, like, their stuff on their computer, and I'll be like, Scooter Woolridge is on fire tonight. Like, I'll say things like that, which are so stupid. But then again, I have more investment in the life of Scooter Woolridge than the life of, you know, LeBron James, who I legitimately cheer for and everything.
Yeah.
Like, or the Timberwolves. Like,
This guy is you, basically.
And... to, like, borrow from the surrealists, like, you know, the idea that, like, when a beggar goes to sleep and dreams he's a king, he's a king.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my NBA is as real to me, in a sense.
And there's the thing, it's like, you're talking about things you hate about video games, but, like, the escapism that's happening in your video game is so much more fulfilling than me investing 110 hours in Dragon Age Inquisition, because at the end of the game, I'm going to be like, I have nothing to show for this. I went on a journey, but this place isn't real. And yet the NBA game that you're playing is as real as you want it to be.
Well, but so's your Dragon Age story, you know? Or like...
Maybe. I don't know yet. I just don't know about the game.
That's the tough thing is like... Sometimes because the story is so handed to you, you do kind of, you're able to hold back a little bit and be like, I'm not investing in this all the way because it's like... Because I don't know where it's going. I don't totally trust it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't trust the people telling me the story. I definitely have that problem now more than I used to, where it's like, I don't fucking know. I don't buy it. Like, your shit you're telling me, I don't believe.
Because you feel like you're being led down a certain path so they can cross you. So
exactly.
You can be like, oh, I'm doing all this stuff. And then, oh, yeah, guess what? It turns out you're working for the bad guys. And you're like, yeah, I fucking know that.
Because
I'm a modern video game player.
Yeah,
I understand narratives this way. Show me something I've never seen before. Like, Gone Home, there's a great example of, like, I didn't see anything coming. People still play that game. They don't know what's happening. And you get to the end, you're like, holy shit. I never would have thought this was going to happen.
Well, and in those games that are really, like, very scripted, too, I feel like sometimes it's like, this is so trite. Or, like mm-hmm. the Call of Duty where you have to kill all the people in the airport, like, Mission 1. It's like, this is stupid because, like, this is something that, like, some junior high kid makes as an experiment to be like, what if you were in an airport and you had to shoot everybody? Like, it's, there's like nothing, there's no investment that you have in it yet. Like,
well, yeah, especially because it's like, well, no, I'm just in a video game and I'm being told I need to do this, so I have no agency over this, where it's like, no, like, if you give me the choice to do this and there are consequences, then I have real choice. In this situation, I'm being put in this, you're taking the agency away from the character. And you're saying, you have to do this or else the game can't continue. So then there's no point in it.
And that's a place where they probably could have given you more character stuff for the person.
Yeah.
Because I remember that mission. It's like, at the end of it, the guy you're playing gets killed. And you're like, I didn't even know who the fuck he was.
Yeah.
Like, what's the fucking point? Like, it just feels stupid.
And they totally probably killed him so that they wouldn't have to continue
that. Exactly.
It's just end it. And it was controversial and it sold probably a whole bunch of games and good for them. Infinity Ward. Everyone loves them.
You know, that's actually would be a much more interesting video game, though, if you don't get killed at the end, and then you have to redeem yourself from that point. Yeah. It is, like, kind of an interesting game.
Well, that's, like, Spec Ops The Line, which I've talked about on here, is you use a fucking, like, white phosphorus to, because there's no other way past this one part, and that's actually interesting, because it's the illusion of choice. You have, like, all these dudes, and there are, like, a million guys in this one part, and it's like, well, we have this thing we know is bad, it's called white phosphorus mortar shots. We can use it on these guys, but it's gonna be like horrible. It's like the most painful like way to die. It's really awful, like all their skin burns off, blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, well, it's like, and the other guy's like, fuck that, let's just like shoot our way through, like I'd rather do that or I'd rather walk away. But of course you can't walk away, so it's like you can try to fight them and you cannot win. You never have enough ammo.
Yeah.
But when you use the white phosphorus, it's you making that choice and you hear the screams and it's like the most awful thing. And then after you get through, you realize that beneath all those soldiers were a bunch of civilians they were holding captive. And they got burned fucking alive because of what you did. And it's like, and after that, it's like, holy shit, what is this game gonna make me do next? But it's like, it didn't feel like you had to make that choice. It felt like, well, this is the easier way to do it. And it's like, oh my god. That's the difference. It's like, you can walk through that whole airport and just like not fire your gun and you're just like watching people get blown away. It's like, this is, like, what is this? Like, this is just shock. Yeah. It's just trying to like make me feel like weird inside. And it's like, I don't, cause I'm able to just be like, this is a fucking video game.
It's like, really silly. And again, that's where this aspect of like not putting stuff in there. I think about Skyrim. It's still one of my favorite games I've ever played. And it's like, I mean, yeah, you can be led from point A to point B, but a lot of that game is just go and make whatever. And I have a character who I remember so well, and I remember the choices he made, and I roleplayed so deep into that character because I was like, no, this is what this guy's going to do. In any situation I'm put in this game, I know how this guy's going to react because I put the time in and I really developed this sort of character. And it's because they didn't say, like, all right, well, you need to do this, and then you need to do this, and then you need to do this, and do this. Yeah. It's like, you infer a lot into that, and that's what's so great about video games.
And that reminds me, I would say my favorite video game is Red Dead Redemption. I think that's, to me, the best video game I've ever played because, at least the way I played it, I invested in John Marsden with this idea of, like, I really am going to be reformed. So, like, I'm going to play as honorably as I can, save, and then shoot a bunch of people. Like, I was like,
sure, we all do it.
Sure, yeah. But, you know, it's like, I'm going to play this as honorably as I can. And so when he, spoilers, I guess, when he dies, I was like, holy shit, like, I'm sad because I invested a part of myself in the way this character was.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, and the game let me do that because I could have played him as someone who just kills people all the time.
Yeah.
And it would have been, like, a different ending when he gets shot.
I think in recent memory I played the Homeworld games.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The remastered ones. And I like them, but what's interesting is, like, at the end, it's not a scripted event how you, like, kind of win. And there's characters, like, getting blown away, getting killed, that you've, like, been with the whole time. And if they die, it doesn't end the mission. It's like, that's just part of the final mission. And I'm like, damn, that fucking feels weird. But there are also, like, I started making up reasons for, like, some ships will attack you and some won't. Like, as you're going towards the final boss sort of thing. And I think it's mostly just AI scripting. Like, you're not close enough. They don't see you. But in my mind, they're just sort of like, we see the way the wind's blowing and we're not going to get involved. Like, these guys are going to take down the Empire and we're just going to let them do it because, fuck it, I want to be on the winning side at the end of this. You know, I saw all these, I just saw you blow away the entire fleet. Yeah, probably just going to hang back.
We're gonna hang back.
Squadron of like 10 fighters. Yeah. And I was like, I do that same sort of thing of like, it makes more sense to me, like, in my version of events, rather than, like, the game being like, oh, this is what happened. Also, a great example of that is Bastion.
Yeah.
A lot of unsaid stuff, and it's like, you don't totally know why everything happens, but your interpretation of it makes it that much stronger. Because they give you just enough information of, like, this was the city decadent, you know, like, was it... like, are these bad guys, are they really bad? You know? Oh, God, I love that game.
And that's Transistor by the same company is really like that even more. Like, Transistor, I love
that.
That
was, like, intense.
If you haven't played Transistor, go and find Transistor. It's on, it's not on iOS or, like, a mobile platform, but it's really, really fantastic.
I'm putting a fan on Josiah because he looks so hot.
I'm a sweater.
He's a sweater.
He's a sweater wearing a sweater.
Well, that's true.
These are literal things.
Yes. Josiah, you have a podcast.
That's true.
In which you and Rob Grabowski, fan and friend of the show.
Yeah. Right. And guy who bullied his way onto it.
Yeah, exactly. You talk about remaking movies.
Yes, yeah.
And before the podcast started, we were riffing and talking about remaking a video game. Now, if you had to remake NBA 2K14... what would you do? What's the remake of that game?
Sure.
unprepared. Completely unprepared.
Great. Okay, so if I had to recreate NBA 2K14, I would... I don't even know. I mean, I find
would
it pretty
would there be like
satisfying.
A nemesis
you,
on another
actually, you
team?
Know what? One of the seasons, I think they actually built that in, that when your draft year, you would have like a nemesis that would be created for you, or the year
that's
after
great.
It.
Sort of like a Bird and Jordan sort of thing.
Yeah, and so I didn't buy that year's game, but I think that's a brilliant idea, and that's so fun, because I already like had nemesis.
Yeah. I know that because of the movie Mystery Man.
Yeah, nemesis.
You know, nemesis. But the thing is, that's funny, is like, I like that there's not that much to it. Like, I don't mind that. I guess if anything, I would be forced to take jump shots more.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, it would play more like a real game.
Would you like it?
Here's what I would love. Small fixes. One is that you go to the president's house whenever the White House is called.
Yes. Yeah. The president also has a house.
Yeah.
I assume.
Yeah.
He doesn't sell it when he gets the White House.
I gotta sell this shit. I'm living in the White House for the rest of my life.
Driving the stake into the president. So it's abandoned.
In a sense, in the NBA 2K world, having just won the 2018 championship and Obama's still the president that you visit.
Wow.
I would just have like a generic woman character who would like be like look different every time you went, and it would just you just know it was a different president.
Yes,
like each time,
like she had like three different haircuts or something.
Similarly, the game has some weird things built in. Like you can talk to the general manager about things, but every time you talk to the general manager, he's always a white guy.
Ooh.
Like every single time, which is very weird. It's weird.
That's strange.
I'm as a light NBA fan who lightly follows the NBA, I'm excited about how the NBA is growing in terms of like TV deals and stuff. I like the game MLB The Show, because it's not just about playing the game, it's also about all the marketing of your, how do you do sponsorships, how do you, it's all of that larger sort of metagame within the game about your actual character becoming a superstar. I would love to see 2K take on some of that other stuff about like, well, how do you negotiate having a brand, or what happens if you have a sex scandal, or what would go down.
That would be interesting if it were like The Sims and NBA 2K14. Yeah. So like you like early on you like drive home in your like shitty car and you like it literally switches to the game The Sims.
Yeah.
And you just like play your life for a while.
Oh God.
And then like you drive to the arena and play the like.
Yeah, it's like you got to take the bus to the arena.
I would love that game.
Yeah.
I would actually love
that
game.
Really fun.
Yeah, it's like you get injured, great. That means you have to watch practice, or you have to watch an actual NBA game going on.
Yeah, or like you get in like a fight cuz like you can like creep on your teammate's girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but
it'd
then
be
like,
awesome.
It would be, yeah.
Honestly, that would be really cool. And they do like some very light touch on that, like you get to design your own shoes at one point. All
right, cool.
But it's all so heavily marketed because it's always like Jordan brand shoes, you know, featuring like your sub brand or whatever, and like you like get put in a Gatorade ad or whatever. Like it's every time you go to halftime, they say, "Now it's the Sprint halftime, brought to you by Sprint."
That's sort of a Sprite replay. Like,
yeah. I don't like that in-game that sucks, sort of shit like that. Yeah. You know, I just want it to like exist on its own, but it would be great if you could be like, alright, so you're the superstar at this level of LeBron James and you have to like choose your crew and guys you have to like test to make sure they're gonna have your back. And shit goes down in a nightclub. Yeah. You like shoot yourself in the leg and you're like, well, you guys have to like take the rap for it, you know?
There's like a brawler minigame you can fight your way out of a nightclub.
That'd be great.
Oh man.
It turns into like Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, exactly.
This game needs to be made, but obviously the NBA would never license the product.
Never, ever. Yeah.
But so it would just be like, remember how like, in the old NBA games they would have Michael Jordan, but he would be called like, Player One or something? Like,
playing for the Chicago Red. It was obviously the Bulls, and they had all the same logos. But I mean, like,
the Toros.
Exactly. It just...
Oh, God. It's terrible. I love it.
All right. Yeah, so we found it together.
All right. There we go.
That's a game I'd buy. Anyway. Sorry, I'm testing out a new catchphrase.
This is probably the last time anyone will ever talk sports on this podcast.
Probably. If I have my way.
And we only very
lightly sports element.
So every time you said this, like a person who is actually like an NBA star, my eyes just glaze over and start falling. Slowly entering a coma. But then someone says, like, you know, Bioshock, and I'm like,
I'm there, here we go.
Yes.
Big Daddy's.
Thanks very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This was fun.
Mm-hmm. And please check out the remake on iTunes.
Yes. Tell us a little bit more about when people can listen to it and how they can listen to it.
Great. Awesome. I thought we were done, so I was like, gotta get this plug in. So the remake podcast, you can find it on iTunes or at... You wouldn't go on the web. Just find it on iTunes.
Fair.
It's on the phone you're holding in your hand or that's in your pocket. Mm-hmm. It's called Remake the Podcast. Every week, we put out a new episode every week. We bring on a different guest. We talk about a movie for a while, and we pitch remakes for it. You can listen to Clayton's episode or Kellen's or even Tim Dunn.
If you're really desperate.
Yeah. if you listen to every podcast ever.
Yeah, so if
you're
like...
You've done with Serial.
Yeah, Point Break, Gladiator, or...
both great episodes.
Love Actually fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, boo.
Boo.
Yeah,
boo.
and that's it.
Josiah, if people wanted to see you somewhere live in the city of Chicago... in the city of Hawaii, Alaska. Yeah.
Thank you. In Juno, Aloha. Anyway.
Juno, Aloha.
We'll get it in editing, guys. We got it.
Aloha means Alaska.
Juno, Aloha.
A new film by Diablo Cody.
Juno's going to Hawaii, guys.
Ooh.
It's like a Saved by the Bell.
Like one of those like 80s college films. But she doesn't know she's pregnant again.
She runs into Michael Cera's character again. What are you doing here? I was trying to get away from you.
Movies.
People can see me live on the weekends at Comedy Sports or Thirsty Improv or at the Playground Theater.
Very nice.
That sounds great. I don't know why I sound so insincere this episode.
That sounds great. I can't wait to see you.
Awesome. Aloha.
Yeah.
Man, it's funny because I know Clayton must really like me because the words he's saying.
But his tone doesn't convey it. I don't know what's wrong with this episode.
Clayton, where can people see you perform?
So this might actually be why I'm so salty. Hijinx is no longer a thing. We no longer ever run at IO. Which is not, I mean, not anyone's fault.
No.
We voluntarily bowed out because we were like, the group is going to break up in August anyway.
Sure.
So
yeah.
Between this and me getting fired, it's a really tough
guys.
This is this is between that fake thing and that real thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, no, it's fine. I'm actually, it's all good. So if you were planning to see the hijinks run, cancel those plans.
Cancel it.
And instead, be with your loved ones at this dark time for humanity. No.
Go outside, too. It's beautiful.
It is very nice out.
Spring almost.
And yeah, if you do want to see late 90s, we're now Wednesdays at 10:30 at IO. I believe that show is still free.
That's great.
And we're usually with like two opening teams, which, you know, can be independent teams. So,
well, there you go.
Some people have taken that as free license to just email me asking for a slot, to which I respond, I do not get to decide that.
Wow.
But I try to pass the information along and be nice.
My team just moved here from Cedar Rapids. I'd like to perform with you.
And I'm just like, how the fuck did you get my email? No, it's fine. It's really, it's truly, I do, I don't mind that much. But I do, I like making fun of it because it's just, I got like a bunch of emails in 1 week and I'm like, who are these people?
Clayton, Kingmaker at gmail.com. Send your submissions there.
Kingmaker.
Ooh.
What about you?
You can see me at The Annoyance on Sunday nights at 8 o'clock for the next two Sundays, doing my triple feature about Dr. Graffenberg, a doctor in the 1940s who helped women come sexually with their vaginas.
You thought it was going to go somewhere else.
I really thought it was going to go somewhere else.
You thought it was pausing for a misdirect. Nope. Trying to make it as blatant as possible.
Yep, pretty much. It's a really lovely show. The three shows for the triple feature are great. I have no idea how much it costs, but I know it's at The Annoyance.
And is this interactive theater, Kellen?
Yes. It's interactive theater. The same way that interactive theater is, Gallagher is interactive theater.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
That's it?
That's not what I wanted at all. Oh, Christ. This is the filthiest episode we've ever
it's
done.
It's wonderful. All right, Josiah, thank you again for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And Clayton, take us out with one of your famous catchphrases.
Now that's a game I'd buy.
Thanks, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. For more on the Nerdalogs and our shows, please go to www.nerdalogs.com.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot23548X.